Hello, this is James Denman. I'm the site editor for SearchSoftwareQuality.com. I'm here with Matt Huser. Please say hello, Matt.
Hello, everyone.
And Matt is one of our experts that you can write in questions to, and we'll get you some good, solid answers. Matt, talk a little bit about your experience. Let everybody know what a good expert you really are.
Well, thanks. I started out as a programmer. I spent my adult life working on software development projects pretty consistently. I've done a little bit of journalism, a lot of writing, that sort of thing, but about software. Early on in my career, I had a real interest in testing for a couple of reasons. One, I worked at a company where there weren't any testers, so I heard about these people that were a safety net, and I was excited, but I had to do it myself anyway, because I didn't have any testers, so I wanted to get good at it. And second of all, I really think of all the roles in software, testing is the one where you have, it is very easy to have the best alignment between the truth and reward, right? So as a tester, when you walk in and say, software don't work, we're never going to hit our deadline, you're telling the truth to people in a way that matters, and that's your job.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it's a good day, but I have been in those days where I've been asked, why did things turn out like this? And we open the books, and we open, you know, the planning tools, and we, like, this is exactly what things were headed toward, and you were updated every week, and the business decided to go this direction. This is really a surprise. And I was in one room where we had that discussion, and all fingers were pointed at test, and why did you guys screw up? And the CEO, who was the acting VP of development, said, that was a calculated decision that informed me of the risk that I choose to make. The CEO said, that was a calculated decision that I made, and that was very, very different than why didn't QA find that bug. And that becomes increasingly important when you start talking about saying, we've always done software development this way, and we're going to change.
Talking about change, what are the changes that your clients are facing right now? That what seems to be the big ones?
Well, I'd say there are two or three. It's an awkward time right now because everybody says they do Scrum. Not everybody, but you know, if you go to an Agile conference, 9 out of 10 people will say they do something like Scrum. And then they'll say but, or they'll say ish, or they'll say, yeah, we're not quite doing it right, or express in some other way that the system is failing. And maybe that's an improvement over what they were doing before, because Scrum makes these problems visible, right? Mm-hmm. Like if we go back in time 10 years, the problems were all still there. The project was still 150% late, but you didn't find out until the week before it was due, where now these impediments become visible every 2 weeks, so they're on your mind more often. But so people are struggling with Scrum. Some of the companies that are more established or have gone things in a very particular way, they've got a lot of inertia, are just sort of converting to Scrum. Larger organizations are trying to figure out how to collaborate. What does that mean to our organizational structure, right? We have multidisciplinary, self-organized, self-directed teams. What are the 17 supervisors of business analysis and the 5 managers of business analysis and the 2 directors of business analysis? Like, what do they do, and how do we change the organization in mid-flight? How do we build the airplane while we're in the air? Those are not simple, easy questions. So we've been trying to help people with those questions.
Yeah, so where do you start when an organization's looking at something like that? Like, you know, a big established organization, it's got a large business analyst department that needs to work in conjunction with the developer teams. How do they move forward to get better?
Yeah, really. Thanks for the particular example, because it depends on the organization. So, a small to medium sized organization, typically there's often no single view of all of the work that is happening. you'd have to actually meet with every manager, and they'd give you a list. And then you meet with every supervisor, and they'd give you a longer list. And then you meet with every individual, and they'd give you a longer list. So a typical organization, small to medium, is not tracking the work well. There's the planned work and the unplanned work. Mm-hmm. And the unplanned work could be 30% that is just invisible. So you say, why is your project 30% late? Well, we actually were pretty darn good at estimating. It's just that there's this invisible work you're not seeing. A large organization is going to have a portfolio management office, and they're going to be able to sort of visualize it. But the typical way it's done is you still have those functional managers, and you have a project manager who builds a temporary matrixed team. And people are on that temporary team for 6 months or a year, year and a half, and it dissolves, and they go build another temporary team. People can be on more than one team at a time. This leads to multitasking. It leads to multiple bosses, like all the stuff you saw in Office Space. It leads to heavyweight handoffs. And often there's infighting going on. So I am a tester. I report to the test manager, but I'm supposed to be on this team with all of these other roles that my boss is fighting against politically. So there's no real incentive for us to work as a team. We're going to be dissolved anyway. Where do we start with that? In that situation, I would want to build one real tiger team of people that are one team that has all the skills that we need to move forward. We break them off. They report to the VP, and we let them, maybe they're in a different building, and they go build software. On an existing, we can't do that because we've got this big, huge project to get done with 1,000 people full time.
Right.
I do an analysis, and I look at the org chart. I talk to people. I walk around, and I find there's already, in most cases, a high-functioning multidisciplinary team in the middle. It's a core team working on the core software. They all know each other, and they all have each other's phone numbers on speed dial. They all know where other cubes are. They may be distributed across the campus, distributed across the world, but that's the heartbeat of the project. Every day, that heartbeat is a day late, the whole project's a day late. And this is the most important project in the enterprise. So the entire company creates, so the sales guys can't sell it, the marketing people can't put banner ads up, can't put banners up, because the product doesn't exist yet. So every day that heartbeat is late, the whole company is a day late, and there's a massive cost of delay. So we take that small team, visualize, get all the work they were doing, put it in a bucket, visualize it, and make better choices about how to spend that time, optimize that one team. The whole organization will have thousands or tens of thousands of percent return on investment from the improvement we get there. That's where I start.
Thanks, Matt, for taking the time to talk with me. I always appreciate it.
Thanks, James. I look forward to the next one.
All right. We'll talk with you then.